We are in Siman Kuf Nun Tes. We begin Hilchos Rivus. So just with regards to Hilchos Rivus, there's two, just with it being where it is, there's two major questions. One is, why in the world is it in Yerodaya? And even if you can accept the fact that it's in Yerodaya, why in the world is it here? Right? Think about which halachos came right before and which halachos came right after. Right before were the halachos of Yehorik Val Yavor and Avodah Zarah and how one deals with non-Jews. And then immediately following are the laws of Nechlesh and Beged Isha and magic and those kinds of things. So why in the world is Hilchos Rivus stuck right in the middle? So those are both issues. The issue with regards to why Yerodaya as opposed to Chosher Mishpah is probably the more difficult question. Why it's here, that's not such a difficult question, because it's really one person decided it to be here. Who's the one who decided that it should be in this location? The Tur, right? The Tur wrote his order, and wherever the Beis Yosef commented, and whatever order he used, that's the order that's used in Shulchan Aruch, and that's the order they all abide. So the author of the Tur is really the one who decided where it should be, and he tells you why he put it here. He doesn't tell you in Siman Kuf Nun Tes, he tells you in Kuf Samach. So if you go to the beginning of Siman Kuf Samach, he says, Ribis Hol the Asaliyadan, name of Milsa. Because we started dealing with the laws of Ribis fell into our hands, so we'll just say a few things about it, and then he goes on for the next 20 Simanim talking about Hilchos Ribis. Right? But how did it come into our hands? Right? So he's only putting that in the second Siman dealing with Ribis, not the first Siman dealing with Ribis. Why is the first Siman dealing with Ribis where it is? Because that has to deal with lending to non-Jews with Rivas. So that actually fits in pretty nicely. This whole, really, all of Chelik Beis of Shulchan Aruch until you get to Hilchos Nida, which is outside of this volume. So actually, we are Hilchos Rivas is all that is remaining from us completing this volume of Tzur Beis Yosef, which is quite an impressive feat. So the entire volume is really dealing with relationships with non-Jews. So that makes sense to have a chapter of relationship of lending money to non-Jews. So that's how he gets started. And he says, oh, once we're dealing with the issue of Rivas, we'll just stick it in here. Now, there is a further rabbi, at least a couple of weeks ago, when the Daf Yomi finished Parak Ezehu Nesha, which is the Parak in Bava Metzia that is most identified with the laws of Rivas. Most of the laws are found there. So, Agudas Yisrael, the Daf Yomi Commission, sent out, here are 10 Shir Psichas that were given, Shir introduction Shir that were given to the Lord when Ezehu Neshech began. So it had about 10 Rabbanim who gave, one of them was Rav Dinsky, one of them was Rabbi Ari Marburger, which I listened to. I pressed play on that Shir, Rabbi Ari Marburger Shir, and I hear Rabbi Willick talking. I'm like, what's he doing on this Shir? So it was in Rabbi Willick's shul. Rabbi Willick's shul was presenting it. He was giving the introductions. That's how that fit in. And Rabbi Reisman also gave an introduction, the author of The Laws of Rivas, but he gave an introduction to this book where his whole shir, meaning the three I listened to, Rabbi Rudinsky and Rabbi Marburger, were really giving the klalim, the basics of The Laws of Rivas, which probably we'll get into next week or the week after. But Rabbi Reisman's presentation was the question of, is Hilchos Rivus a Choshen Mishpatim, or is it a Yerodayadin? And that's going to have various ramifications. So you've wrote a few, just off the bat, a few ramifications is, let's say you lend somebody money and he gives you back money, and the deal was that I'll lend you money in condition you give me back the money plus an Esrog. Right? So what is the status of that Esrog? Is that Esrog HaGazel? Or is it not an Esrog HaGazel? Right? So if a Choshen Mishpat, then it sounds like it's going to be considered Gezela. If it's considered Yerodaya, then maybe it's not considered Gezela. Also, let's say you have Ribbis money and you're Makadi Shanisha with it. So that's also subject to dispute. So anyways, that's a Machlokas. Is Yerodaya considered Choshen Mishpat or considered Yerodaya then? Rabbi Rudinsky's introduction to Rivas Shir, he said straight out that he thinks it's a Yerodaya Din. And why is that? He says because it's not stealing. For it to be Chosh and Mishpat, you have to have two people disagreeing. When you get to Hilchos Rivis, you have the two people agreeing. One guy is very happy to borrow money and pay back on interest. That's okay with him. He wants that deal to go through. It's just that there's an Isser in the Torah. So that's why it's stuck in Hilchos Yerideya rather than Hilchos Rivis. I'll just add in that there's one Shita here that seems to make it clear that he thinks it's a Chosh and Mishpat then. And who is that? It's the tour, right? Because the tour is the one who gives an introduction saying, this really doesn't belong here, but I'm going to put it in here anyways because of what appears in Siman Kuf and Tes. So he seems to be implying that it really is a Chosh and Mishpat, then I'm just putting it in here for other reasons. But and we'll come across some of those as we go through these sugyas about where this really belongs. All right, so
what's the difference if it's a Chosh and Mishpat? Din or
Yoredeya. Yoredeya means that it's a Ben Adam, whether it's Ben Adam L'Chaver, whether it's Ben Adam L'Machal.
So the punishment is not as severe?
Well, the punishment is, it's hard to say what the punishment is that you have to, the punishment is that you violate a prohibition. I don't know, actually I didn't check. I assume there's no Makos for violating Ribbis because it's a lav, you can give it back, we're supposed to give the money back. Mm-hmm. So ultimately, if you charge Ribbis, so the guy can bring you to Basin and demand that you give his money. If the borrower charged the lender, if the lender charged the borrower Ribbis, the borrower can go and take the lender to Basin and demand his money back if it was Ribbis Doraisa. But that doesn't, I'm not sure.
So we're on the question about Choshen.
Oh, you asked about the punishment. Yeah. So the difference would be, in many things in Choshen Mishra, the person has the right to be Mochel. Right here. Here in Ribbis, the assumption is that you don't have the right to be mochel. Otherwise, it wouldn't be. Otherwise, it would be a problem. You just say, that's something that I gave into. If it's choshen mishpat, then it has the rule. It's considered like gezela. If it's a yerdeya, then so perhaps it's not a rule of gezela. That's some of the questions. All right. So we can turn to the beginning of Siman Kuf Nun Tes. Probably the tour's introduction. Best to read the tour. The Torah says, "Dvar Torah mutar lahavos l'goy v'ribis." That the Raisa, it is permissible to lend to a non-Jew with ribis. Right, the time of the ribis, the ribis d'chsiv, v'chayach yichayimach, v'goy emetzuyin l'ach yosel. That there are several times over the course of the Torah we are given the prohibition of lending of ribis, and one of them is that your brother shall live with you. So a goy is not considered your brother. So therefore, you shouldn't. It seems like the goy is not included in this prohibition. Okay, so that's number one. That it seems that there is at least no prohibition. There might be even a mitzvah asi to lend with ribis to non-Jews, but there is at least no prohibition of lending with ribis. The chachamim asruhu, and the chachamim said it's aser. However, mishum gezeir shemi yilmod mimaisav uvchdei chay. One second, stop there. The chachamim, however, came along and asered it. So it sounds what the Torah is saying is that there was permission. The Torah gives a dispensation to lend with ribis, and the rabbanan at some point came along and said you're not allowed to do it. Why did they say you're not allowed to do it? So if you would have asked me, I would have said, well, you're not allowed to do it because if you lend to a non-Jew with ribis, you may come to lend the Jew with ribis. So it's not the reason that the Gemara gives. Rather, it says shema yilmu b'maisav, that if you're lending them money with ribis, so then you're going to have. It sounds like you're going to have too much interaction with them. It sounds like one of these bishalakov type. That you're going to have too much interaction with them. In order to limit the interaction, we prohibited lending with them with ribis. However, uvichtei chayav shari. But in order to just survive, in order to make ends meet, it sounds like it's okay. And uvitzura durabanan. And also by a Talmudic scholar, the Leikul Amecha Shem Yilmu Maisav, who we don't have any concern that he's going to learn from those interactions, we permitted it to him as well. Afilu biyosev yichtei chayav, even above what he needs to live. Mishar kol adam, but with everybody else, nami lo asru el beribis do raisa val ribis do rabbanan sharia. So everybody else, we prohibited ribis do raisa, but ribis do rabbanan is okay. Period. Okay. So number one is
with a guy.
Sounds like it's mutter. However, the rabbanan came and asered it. Three exceptions. Ribis the Rabbanan, and what those differences are between Ribis the Rice and the Rabbanan we'll get to. If you're a Tzurmi Rabbanan, or a Bichtei Chayav. Those are the three exceptions, it sounds like it's okay. However.
Are you allowed to lend to a Gentile without Ribis?
We just shouldn't do anything.
So that's a problem. Yeah. So hold on. So by idna, but nowadays nagu hetter l'chol b'chol b'chol mini ribbis. But nowadays they seem to be permitted it to all types of ribbis. Mishum she'ev sher lanu lihishtaki b'shum masu matan im loshen nosam nosan imam. But it's not possible to do any business unless we deal with them. Im kain lo shayach b'ribbis shema yilmo mimai. So therefore, it doesn't make sense to have this concern. Tfei mi b'shar masu matan more than any other masa umata. Right, so that sounds a little bit strange. Why did we permit ribbis b'zman hazeh? Well, yeah, we can't do any business. All our business has to take place with non-Jews, and if that's the case, it doesn't make sense to say, well, you're not allowed to do ribbis, but you're allowed to do everything else. A little bit of a strange answer. A little bit of a strange conclusion.
I think at a point, I'm not up on the history, but I think that many professions were excluded, and so it turned out that they, this is like so, one of the things that they could do.
So that might be true. You have a bit of a problem. Okay, so just because we're excluded from, you know, there are many professions were excluded, and people have to work on Shabbos, that doesn't mean that it was permitted to work on Shabbos. So how all of a sudden did this become permissible? How did it go from Usr to Mutter? So first of all, how did it actually become Usr?
You're saying here that the business in general today requires, so it should be like any other business you do with the guy. The rabbis never said you can't do business with the guy because you might intermarry or whatever.
Well,
so therefore, ribbis becomes part of that.
I thought that. The first time I read that, that's the way I read it. Although, looking back, I don't think that's what I don't think that's what the Torah is saying. The Torah is saying, Lo shayach b'ribbis shema yilmo b'maisav tvei b'bishar maso matan. Now, we don't have more of a concern when it comes to that ribbis will make you learn from their actions more than any other type of business that will learn from their actions.
So since the rabbis didn't forbid any other business
right.
on that basis, so we didn't forbid ribbis either.
Right, but you were saying that there's an inherent link. Once we're permitting business with them, we have to permit ribbis. It doesn't seem like that's what you're saying.
You're saying it's the same as... It's a business.
He's saying you're already dealing with them, so this isn't going to change anything.
Of course, also ignores the fact that with Christians there's other issues of the Zara, so... but that's a separate issue.
I mean, because there's no issue of Avodah Zarah anymore?
Doing business with them.
Is this Avodah Zarah related or not? I'm not sure it has to... It's Avodah Zarah related. Because I'll tell you the basis of it is in the middle of Ezev and Neshach, where the comment is that there is a pasuk in Mishlei. The pasuk in Mishlei, where it says Marba Gemara in Bava Metzia. Ezev and Neshach is the fifth parak of Bava Metzia. So on Daf Ayin Amud Beis, which is the Beis Yosef quotes you the Gemara, although he doesn't actually quote the Gemara, he just says look at the Gemara there. So there's a pasuk in Mishlei that says Marba Honu B'Neshach B'Sarbis L'Chonin Dalam Yikvetzen. The one who increases his wealth by way of Neshach or Ribbis. What's the difference between Neshach and Ribbis? That's the first Mishnah in Ezev Neshach. That's how it's called Ezev Neshach. Ezev Neshach V'Ezevu Tarbis. L'Chonin Dalam Yikvetzen will collects it for he who favors the poor. Meaning somebody who lends on interest, that money will ultimately be given to poor people. That's what the pasuk initially seems to say. So the Gemara asks, what's that? So the Gemara says, yeah, like somebody like Shavur Malka, a non-Jewish king, is going to get your money, he's going to have to pay a lot of taxes, he's going to give it out to the non-Jews. So Rav Nachman comments, that's the name of Rav Huna, what are we learning from this? We already know that it's Aser. What are we learning from a pasuk in Mishlei that seems to prohibit it as well? So the Gemara comments, yeah, that you're not even somebody who lends to non-Jews based on ribbis. So it sounds like it prohibited it. So Gemara asks, what do you mean? I thought that there's a pasuk seeming to permit it. So the Gemara seems to have inconclusive. You can't prove it one way or another, and is inconclusive about whether that pasuk initially should be used in that way. That's one read, and then there's another read that the Gemara has of that seems to say that it's okay. Seems to come out saying that it is permissible to lend to them. So first of all, there's a question about how you paskin in that Gemara. I mean, do we really paskin like the opinion within that Gemara that saying that lending it to non-Jews is problematic, that it's some kind of midos issue or not? Okay, but on that page is also Tosfos. Tosfos asks the question as Tosfos is wont to do. Other Rishonim wouldn't ask such a question, but Tosfos asks. Where is it? It says, So he says nowadays, this is on that daf, Dibur HaMaskil Tashich. Right, nowadays everybody is knowing to do this in Tosfos land. People are lending to non-Jews on ribbis. So how could that happen? So this is before the Torah, this is the basis of his heter. He says, well, first of all, at worst this is only a din derabanan, and therefore you could file the kula, right? So we have a question whether which way we pass. So we're going to suffek derabanan the kula. So you have the right to be makel. Second of all, the kaimel and ki the flishta, we could pass them like the other opinion here. The masi had the Rav Huna Brisa, the Rav Yosef v'lo asur miyom, it never was asur. Rav Nachman v'lo asur miyom, Rav Nachman for Rav Huna ribis de nachri. V'afil lishna kama. I mean, even if we assume like that first opinion, yesh lahatir, we can matir it. Why? V'fishi yesha leinu mas melech v'sarim. V'akol havei kedei chayenu. He says because we are so imposed with taxes from the government. Everything is considered kedei chayenu. That we're suffering. We need to somehow make a living, and we have no idea when the next big tax is going to come. So therefore, out of concern for that, we have to constantly be doing this in order to make sure that we have enough money. But od, and also sha'anu shiruyin bein ha'umos, that we live amongst non-Jews. V'yif shalanu lihishtake b'shum davar in lo nisav nitin imam. It's not possible to make any money unless we deal in business with them. Hilchach ein nasa ribis shema yilvim ma'isav yoser. Therefore, we're not going to prohibit ribis lest we learn from their actions more than any other masa umatan, more than any other issue. Right? So that's the Torah's answer. Right? So he added a little bit more. He adds two other reasons as well. He says, A, it might not be pshat in the Gemara, or it might not be the way we pass in the Gemara. And another possibility is because we're suffering so much, it's always going to fit under that banner of kedei l'chayiv. So if we take a look back into the tour, so so the Darkei Moshe adds a comment onto this statement here. So if you look in the Darkei Moshe Aleph, he says v'chein pasuk nimuke Yosef perik ezu v'neshech v'hamagim mishna hilchos malvah v'lova, and the magim mishna is what hilchos malvah v'lova aval, meaning what's this going on that if it's to make ends meet, it's okay. By Tzomer Rabbanan, they're even allowed to do more. So he says, yeah, and that's the psak of the Nebuka Yosef, and that's the psak of the Magen Mishnah. Aval b'Mordechai parakaniskin kasav dehoil v'heteru mishum kedei chayav, that once we matured it in order kedei chayav, ain chiluk bein tzur mirabanan la'achar. There's really no difference anymore. Ela b'chol hetir mishum kedei chayav, I feel b'yatz mitei chayav, dol v'hetir hetir l'gamri. Now once there was this heter of kedei chayav, so that once that heter existed, it's going to be matur l'gamri, right? Which is odd. It's unclear where that kedei chayav came from. The Gemara mentions the tzur mirabanan. It doesn't mention the kedei, oh no, it does. Yeah, so I don't know how the Mordechai would read that Gemara. I don't know. The Gemara says Kedei Chayev is okay. So the Mordechai says, well, once you matur Kedei Chayev, so then it's matur for everyone. Well, what does that mean? How could that be? The Gemara didn't matur for everybody, so how did that happen is unclear. So anyways, so you have the Mordechai here saying that Kedei Chayev really means it's matur l'gamrei. You have Rabbeinu Tam saying that Kedei Chayev really means anything, plus you never know when Gullus is going to strike and there's going to be heavy taxes imposed on the Jewish people, and therefore everything's considered Kedei Chayev, and therefore it sounds like it goes back to being okay. Now, why is it not a davar? Why is it not considered a davar shebeminyan? Why is it not considered something that just because we normally understand that gezeiros, even though the reason falls away, the gezeiros doesn't fall away? So why is this not one of those? So there are two approaches to it. Number one approach is that rule is only true if we don't know the reason for the takana, or I shouldn't say that. If the reason for the gezeiros is not included within the gezeiros. But could very well hear, the Gemara itself says right away, don't lend ribbis to non-Jews, because you may learn from their meisim. Well, if that reason falls away, actually they're still subject to learning from their ma'isim, but the reason falls away, because we're going to learn from their ma'isim anyways, so that could be one reason why it would fall, why the gezeira would be able to fall away. The second answer that I saw, I think maybe the Chalkas Binyamin quoted it. The second reason, I thought it maybe it was a Chalkas Binyamin, maybe it was in here, or halacha here. The second reason that I saw is that it is a mitzvah that is mefurish b'kra. I mean, the Torah itself says that you should be lending to non-Jews based on rivas. That actually appears in the Torah. So there is a idea. There is a taz. Maybe it's actually. I think actually it's, it appears. It might appear in Tosos itself. There is a taz that makes the comment. Where I saw it, but there is an idea that if something is mefurish in the Torah, the Rabbanim don't have the right to aser it. So the classic example of that is tkiyas shofar. That tkiyas shofar is prohibited to do on Shabbos because we may go ahead and carry it in the streets. So the Taz on that section in Shulchan Aruch asks, why don't we aser it all the time? Because it's Mashmiya Kol. There's prohibition on Shabbos of playing instruments, and shofar qualifies as an instrument. So therefore it should be aser all the time. Why is it only aser on Shabbos? It should be aser on Rosh Hashanah. Right? We shouldn't be allowed, right, to, even though there's a mitzvah, exactly, it should go away unless we may go and repair instruments. So the Taz says that if there is something that is explicit in the Torah, the Rabbanim don't have the right to uproot it in total. So, yeah, they can get rid of it when Rosh Hashanah happens to fall out on Shabbos, but they're not going to get rid of it totally. So that, hey, perhaps the same idea applies here. And because there is a pasuk explicitly saying to lend to non-Jews on based on Rivas, so that we would not have the ability, the Rabbanim don't have the ability to completely prohibited. That's why there had to be some exceptions.
In the Torah, it says you should lend to the non-Jew.
Yeah, it's supposed to. Yes, yeah. Anachri tigos.
There you go. Yeah.
It's anachri tigos.
Tigos means, it's a chichalo tigos. I think tigos means to charge them interest.
Yeah.
Along with interest. So you can do it.
But it doesn't explicitly say it. It's only by process of elimination.
No, it says, es anachri tigos. Yeah. You may lend to the Jew.
Yeah.
With interest. But the Jew, you shouldn't. So
there's a pasuk if Vayikra Chaf Gimel Chafal to Nachri Tashich.
Okay.
To the non-Jew you should charge Chaf Gimel Chafal. And that gets into that already
which
gets in Vayikra. So that then gets into the Shulchan Aruch itself. That comes up. Oh, so we could flip back. Chaf Gimel Chaf Aleph, yeah.
Well,
you got it wrong.
I don't see it. That's there. Interesting. What is Vayikra?
Maybe you got the wrong book.
No, we got the right book.
No, that's the way he might.
Chaf Gimel Chaf Aleph is a pasuk about. Across the bottom of Yom as Mikra Kodesh, Yalatem Komalat, the Lord of Sasu, that's the Lama Chomosh.
So, unless you lost by a parak or something. Alright, anyways. Alright, anyways, fine. So, there is, perhaps, we will assume that there's a pasuk in the Torah explicitly saying to do it. Okay, so we turn to the Shulchan Aruch itself. Kufnun Tes Sif Aleph. So, the, So it begins, so Dvar Torah, right, the Orai. So Mutter Lahalvos Lovikochatan. It's permissible to lend to non-Jews. Now it's interesting that it only says Mutter. There is the Rambam says that it's a mitzvah. Mitzvah, the Rambam in Hilchos Malva Velova, Perakei Alach Aleph. So Rashi Yeshna Mitzvah Saase Lahavos La'akum Beribis. That he thinks that there's a mitzvah Saase to lend to a non-Jew with ribis. Now the list of Rishonim that oppose him is somewhat lengthy. Raivin Ramban Rash Bar Mitzvah Rashi. Smag, Hagog, Smaimini, Bahag, all say that that's not true, that there is not an explicit mitzvah to lend them dafka with ribbis. But you know, the Rambam himself says that it's a mitzvah, so it seems like the Shulchan Aruch might be paskening against it, because the Shulchan Aruch only spells it out as mutter. He doesn't say that it is a mitzvah. There is a Shulchan Aruch Harav that is quoted, I saw in several places. Shulchan Aruch Harav says that we probably hold like the Rambam that it's aser, but not because of a din of ribbis. What is the mitzvah of giving, of lending a non-Jew with ribbis? He says the reason is because of lo techanim, not to
help them out.
Are you saying it's a mitzvah not to lend to a non-Jew?
No, there's a mitzvah. No, the mitzvah to lend with ribbis. Right, so the Rambam says.
And why is that?
Why is it a pasuk?
I understand.
You should. So the Rambam is the only, it seems like he's the only Rishon to explicitly say that it's a mitzvah to do so. Plenty of other Rishon would say not to, but the Shulchan Aruch Harav suggests that maybe it's not necessarily mitzvah specifically of ribbis, that perhaps to lend without ribbis is a prohibition of lo sechanim, not to help them out. So to speak. So therefore, so that's really what the issue is, not necessarily ribbis issue in particular. So that actually strikes to the main issue within Hilchos Ribbis of why is it usher in the first place, right? We don't consider banks immoral for giving out mortgages, for giving out loans where you pay back a little bit of interest. Why is that considered some kind of moral failing to lend with ribbis? And perhaps the answer is that the idea of lending money without ribbis is not a normal thing to do. That is something that you do for your brother. That is something for somebody that you're very close with. The fallback, the moral thing to do, is to be in business and to lend money and to expect ribbis back. So that special closeness that the Torah imposes upon Jews to lend specifically to your brother without ribbis, that is considered a privilege. That's not considered a right, so to speak. Right? So it's on the window. So with that in mind, that could also, although I'm not sure how much time we're going to do, so it's not really so much in Shulchan Aruch itself, but that perhaps explains why you can do things with the Heter Iska. That there seems to be this document that you could sign, and if you do this document, so then you've erased the prohibition of ribbis. Right? So we'll point out how that works. But the reason that should be considered some immoral thing to do is because that's the normal thing to do. If somebody wants to borrow $1 million from me in order to lend out, I'll tell them I don't have $1 million. But if I did have $1 million for them to get involved in some business venture, I am justified in saying that I'll lend you the money and I expect to have to invest with you and I'll get the money back. That's a justified thing to do. So the way I've thought about it is that we set up the prohibition of ribbis is set up in a way such that we nod our heads to the idea of brotherhood. That ribbis is connected to a brotherhood kind of thing, and we kind of nod to it. Now, it might be that we're going to do it without, we're going to give with ribbis anyways under the guise of a heter iska, but at least we've acknowledged the idea that the ideal is that we're brothers, we're connected, etc., and then we'll go and do what we need to do. Fine. So anyways, Dvar Torah Mutter Lahalvos L'Ovikochav Beribis. The Chacham Masruhu, and the Chacham said it was Aser, Im Lo Kedei Chayev Olo Tamar Chacham O Beribis Durabanan, right, gives those three exceptions, unless it's in order to make ends meet, or if he's a Tamar Chacham, or if he's a Beribis Durabanan. Va'idna Mutter, and nowadays it's permissible. Nowadays it's permissible. So that is an odd conclusion. The whole sif is kind of odd, right? We don't see that very often in Shulchan Aruch, a history of the din. The Shulchan Aruch could have just said, Dvar Torah, Mutter Lahavos Lovi Kulchavim, and that's it. Or it could have said, Dvar Torah, Mutter Lahavos Lovi Kulchavim, but in the Mutter, and it's still Mutter. Why does it go through this back and forth? So it's a bit of a question, right? Why do we need to say that it was once us, or in order to now turn around and say that it's Mutter?
But yeah, if it's mutter, why saying, well, then you can do it if you need to live?
No, I understand. The starting point is that it's mutter, right? We point that that's a pasuk, mm-hmm. Right? Comes the Gemara and says, yeah, but there was this gezeira passed that you're not allowed to do it, right? And then comes along Shulchan Aruch and says, but nowadays it's mutter. So I understand that sounds like a discussion that should be taking place in the Beis Yosef. The Beis Yosef quotes the sources and gives back and forth. Why in the Shulchan Aruch is it necessary to give this give and take? So there is a suggestion out there from the Chafas Adam suggests that no, you should still maintain the gezeira against lending even non-Jews with interest. That suggestion is out there. I'm not sure it's really accepted, but that suggestion is out there. That would then explain why the Shulchan Aruch spells it out in this way. He wants to tell you it's mutter, but there's a minute chassidus not to. Right? And realize that there's a gezeira against it, and you should acknowledge that. And okay.
Especially since if you just read the Torah, you might think it's a mitzvah. Maybe like some do. So the rabbi said, well, better you don't do it, but if you have to, it's not a mitzvah anymore. My Jewish history teacher once explained that in the ancient world, interest rates were very high, sort of like the juice man of the mafia. And you, once you got involved in interest, you were going to go under. Interest was so high you could never pay it off, and so it was really put people on a cycle of poverty, and they could never get so that's why it was therefore forbidden. Any interest was forbidden.
Because people, I also understood it that people in the Torah, people weren't borrowing money because they wanted to start up a business. They were borrowing money because they were destitute,
right.
And therefore that was not a nice thing to charge them interest.
I think you have both possibilities. Yes, there is. Yes, it's true. The mitzvah. It seems like you read the Chafetz Chaim has a sefer Amas Chesed. I guess we'll use for this. All about the loans, the halachos of giving loans. The mitzvah of giving loans. The book is all about mitzvahs asays. I think the first section is about the mitzvah of giving loans. So yeah, the way he spells it out is that yeah, it's a mitzvah to give a loan, right? And it's like if you're not going to give tzedakah, so at least give a loan. That's the way he talks about it. But we don't see the Gemara make any type of distinction and say, yeah, but if it's for the guy's business, or the guy's a wealthy guy, or it's not, we don't see that type of discussion in the Gemara. The Gemara is simply saying that anytime you give money with the assumption that you're going to get it back, you're not allowed to charge interest on it. And the Gemara itself has stories of businessmen being involved in these types of issues. It's not just the Gemara. Already in the Gemara's time, it was an issue of how to.
No, in Gemara land, I understand it because already they're just. I think from the Torah's perspective, I mean, that's the reason why. What?
It doesn't really specify.
I don't know. Mm-hmm. I don't know. There's certainly right. You certainly shouldn't think of it only as loans are for business, right? Because there is a concept of doing a loan as a chesed. Mm-hmm. But it's also. But I don't think we should think about ribbis as, oh, it was really meant only involved with a chesed loan, and Nebuch, we couldn't figure out a way out of it, so it includes business loans also. I think. You just accept across the board. That's those are the dinim. So the Taz actually raises a question. The Taz in Taz Beis asks. He says, "Hatam b'tur l'fi she'if sharlanu lihishtakir b'shu maso matan im lo imahem im kain." So the Torah says, "Well, the reason why it becomes mutter is because it would be impossible for us to do any business with them." We wouldn't be able to do business without them. Therefore, it's not shayach that this concern of we may learn from their actions, but ribis tvei mishar maso matan, right? That we prohibit ribis over any other type of maso matan. So asks the Taz, well, why don't we be like frum about this? Adkan the door. The efshar lishol. Do you have it spelled out? So maybe you could ask. Lama lo gazu gam mei chachmi atalmid al kol maso matan. So why does chachma aser matan matan also? They say, all right, it's all aser. Shelo ye imo mikulchavim. Shelo yom mimaisa. We shouldn't be with them. We should learn from their actions, and that's it. The efshar lomar the milsa the lo shchicha haisa below gazu barabanan. So he says, first of all, maybe it's a milsa the lo shchicha, and the rabbanan where it goes on it. The milsa the lo shchicha means something that was very rare.
Yeah, it's a classic.
Right. They say it was very rare for them to do business with Nachshon, so therefore there was no reason to answer it. But interest was something they dealt with. And they answered that.
Most of the business was between Jews and Jews.
Right, except for loans, which took place between Jews and non-Jews. That's what it sounds like. You have to, if you're going to accept that, right? Well, it was uncommon for them to do business, therefore they could make a gezerah. What does that mean? That means that interest loans was something that was common. Right. So the imkain amai gazu belifne edehen b'masomatan. But if so, but he says there can't be anyways, because we do have gezerahs restraining business between Jews and non-Jews. We prohibit before their holidays masomatan. Right. The first mission of Maseches Avodah Zarah. Right. We have those prohibitions. So there clearly was commercial relationships between Jews and non-Jews. The near it the masomatan shahay gamkain im Yisrael lo aminim sheyomim masem oikolchavim tvei yishal Yisrael. Says it seems that Maso Matan that was also with Jews, we don't say that we'll learn from their actions of the non-Jews more than we will from Jews. I mean, if you're in business, so then you're giving and taking. That's why. So if you're giving and taking, so everybody's on equal footing with one another, so we're not so concerned you're going to learn from them. Masha'inkim beribis, shelo hayarak dafka imo mikochavim. So he said beribis, that would be specifically with non-Jews. Right? Anytime you're going to, if you, in theory, own a bank, so the only person you can lend money to is a non-Jew. Right? Nowadays, that all Maso Matan is with non-Jews, and therefore it is Shayach to say that we'll learn from their actions. And even so, we don't make that Gezera, so now we're not going to make that Gezera. Right, he's saying that nowadays the majority, when it was that you did business with Jews and with non-Jews, you know, 50-50, so alright, you'll learn from everybody's actions. It's like nowadays the majority of people's business was with non-Jews. That was the majority of their businesses. So therefore, it's going to be the same issue, ribbis versus maso matan. So once we're doing maso matan already, we're going to do business as well. Yeah, there is, I know there's somebody, I think maybe the Chokas Miyama quotes him, that just adds in that, well, answering everything would just be a Gezer Shi'ir Sharlamudba. So it's something that would be impossible to maintain, and therefore it's not possible, it wasn't possible to establish that as a prohibition. There it is. But in the Mutter B'chol Inyan, he says, Vahav, he quotes from the Levush, that's just something that the tzibur wouldn't be able to hold by, and therefore it's not shayach to prohibit business activity with non-Jews in whole. So therefore, things just became permissible.
I wonder when this time was when they did more business with non-Jews than with Jews.
So I think during the time once they. The Gemara is describing Bavel. The Gemara is describing Eretz Yisrael. You go to Europe, so Tosfos has descriptions of towns with 10 Jews in them, right? Right. So there had to. My father, when I was at my father's parents' house last week, so I found my father's study. He found a famous photographer. I'm forgetting the name. Went to Europe pre-war Poland. He realized that it was going to be destroyed, so he went to pre-war Poland, and he just took pictures. if you're a Poland without people realizing. I didn't realize.
Not Vishniak.
Yeah, that. Vishniak. That was the name.
He was actually a microbiologist who took a lot of photomicrographs, but he also took these.
He was a microbiologist, yeah. And he also did this as a hobby.
Yeah, I think so.
Okay, so my father he bought a whole book online for like $5 of these wild pictures of pre-World War II Eastern Europe. It was Warsaw and some other places. And it shows like these people doing business. And you see like the different manners of dress. Apparently Jews were very involved in horse trading. Literally horse trading, like that was their job. They were involved in the livestock deals. It has pictures of these porters, like the Gemara talks about porters, and you see those discussions take place. What kind of shmir does he have? Those kinds of things. The Rav talks about these porters in town. There's a lot of pictures of these porters, like just laying on there, keeping track of the car. Really amazing pictures that he had of people. Poland. So why did I start talking? You see like the different modes of dress also, that the Jews in business were wearing these suits, and these are the 30s, so they're wearing suits, and like the non-Jews were wearing like this wild clothing that made them look pretty different. Jews were dealing with the business. Different areas of the world had different proportions of Jews and non-Jews. The 40 minutes. Okay, so Sif Beis and Gimel have to do with lending to those that are Mumrim, Jews that became non-religious. Interesting twist on that, but I guess we'll deal with that.